welcome to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. I am Jeff Chrysler, author of the book Get Rich Cheating and creator of the seminar Get Rich Cheating, and the person that does the word say frequently Get Rich Cheating. And you are listening live as I live talk your Republican National Convention. Listen, before we start, call in today. Tell me what you think about the RNC as it's happening. I know it's going to require you to step away from watching Newt and Kalissa Gingrich promote their new reality show, America's Next Top Gingrich Wife. But nonetheless, I want to hear what you have to say. I'm lonely. I'm without my sidekick today. We've come back. We've been on and off. It's been the summer. Lee, the Rude Pundit at rudepundit.blogspot.com, is still in detention for being so rude, and he will be joining us again soon. But until then, I need you to join me. The number is 888-874-4888. It's like a circle of eights. 888-874-4888. It's like infinity times four with sevens and fours in the middle. So if you just remember that, you probably won't remember the number. You should call 888-874-4888. You know what we discuss Paul Ryan's great speech. You know, to paraphrase what everyone else has said on the other side, you know, also the great speaker, Hitler. Yeah, so let's not get caught up in the pathetic release of the Republicans finally having a dynamic speaker because, you know, Hitler. I'm just saying, if they're going to always complain about Obama being a good speaker, let's complain about Ryan being a good speaker. So what? Just because even the mainstream media, which is conservative, called him out as a liar. But that's the so what. That's the even though. That's the because. That's the why. For you to call 888-874-4888. That's the last time I'm going to mention number for at least 3 units of time. I've been watching the convention. I've had to watch the convention. I even watched the convention run-up, and I could not take enough showers before the end of the year to get off what I've witnessed. It's just, it's not shocking. I think there's a victory in that for the Republicans, and that they finally numbed. Those of us that have yelled about the emperor having no clothes, that have called the people liars so much, they've made us the boy that cries wolf, because wolves have eaten our entire community. I think about it. They made us the boy that cried our eyes wolf because we kept yelling as the wolf ate our children. So the point is, they realize that if they keep doing enough terrible wrong things, ultimately people are going to say you're doing a terrible wrong thing. You're lying. You're lying. Because, you know, everybody likes the guy that says you're lying all the time. But if the other person is lying all the time, you have to say you're lying all the time. And the fact that so many mainstream media outlets have called out Paul Ryan on the welfare lie, the one that, you know, implies racism is a good thing to pander to in order to promote your way of life, as my life. You're in order to win your political elections for your own personal needs. The whole Obama's cut, the work requirements of welfare is not true. Even people that don't like truth have admitted that it's not true. The birther lie, which is based upon a lie, the being, we built it, convention being held in Tampa Convention Center, which is built by public funds, the Janesville lie, this is in Paul Ryan's speech. He talked about a company that was closed in Janesville, Ohio, and blamed it on Obama, even though it happened before Obama became president. Hey, you thought I was going to say, even though some of the economic factors began under, no, it actually all happened before Obama became president. And, you know, the point is I can't take enough showers to clean myself of this. You know, I can only hope that, there's Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is talking right now. He's in a little box on my TV. I can't hear what he says, but I can feel it. It's sort of like, ladies and gentlemen of Iowa, I would like to tell you that I've always liked visiting your state fair. And it's something I intend to do many, many times in the future. When my father was a good man, he only had one son, that was me. No other sons, no people of Iowa and New Hampshire. I am an only child. Espanol speaking me. Also, me gusta Victor, I don't know what gusta means. That's not eating. I'm hungry to eat. The point is, Jeb Bush is talking about problems. Because the country's got 99 problems, but the Jeb ain't one. At the end of this convention, I hope that someone does chant out four more fears. Four more fears. Four more fears. Paul Ryan's speech. Paul Ryan's speech. Should we talk about Paul Ryan's speech? He had some clever lines, you know? You know some clever lines? Like about AC/DC and the Zeppelin, which immediately caused attorneys for those bands to write cease and desist letters. Yeah, got a quick question. What's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Huh? Paul Ryan wears lipstick. That's the difference. Palin, callback, Ryan, shiny lips, all the same hatred, just one a little bit more eloquent. That's the thing. They're getting more polished. They're getting their bullshit better. You know, we're allegedly, and by we, I mean the progressives, because I'm on the Progressive Radio Network. We are labeled as the, you know, the party of Hollywood. The Republicans are much more showbiz. They put on the shine machine. Like, if you only turn into their convention, by golly, Miss Molly, oh, by golly, Miss Molly, you would think they love the song, by golly, Miss Molly. And the good thing is this will continue in the future because, luckily, they're rewriting history books across our country and discrediting authority as well as information sources so that we can have a lot more fact-free discussions with yelling. Phew, F. U.S. I thought it was an interesting moment yesterday during Ryan's speech when there was that Code Pink protest and they chanted them down or they yelled them down, everyone else in the hall, by chanting USA, USA, USA. I would yell louder, but I'm going to baby sleep nearby. Trust me, I'm very impassioned about this. My passion is a cereal of a matzo ball left on too long. It's soft and yet nutritious and has a rage of a thousand generations of oppression. But they were chanting USA, USA. Imagine I'm doing this with the whole matzo ball analogy. And it was kind of incredible to me because these protesters are expressing their First Amendment rights of free expression, of protest, of assembly. And the people that want to shut down their free assembled protest expression were chanting USA. The irony was at stake as a meatball left in the oppressive regime of the futures yesterday, Hitler gave good speeches. My point is, Jews are on the media. And by that, I mean I am Jewish and on an internet radio show right now. 888-874-4888. Do you have to watch the Republican National Convention? No, you don't have to watch the Republican National Convention. You could have unwanted surgery instead. The feeling is the same. You could apply for hazard pay if you do watch it. Just whoever your boss is, or if you're self-employed, look in the mirror when you wake up at 10 o'clock and say, and I mean 10 o'clock at night after going to sleep at 11 o'clock at night the day before. Because, you know, we just have an hour. We just have an hour to self-employed. It's important that during that time you listen to as much of Progressive Radio Network as possible because we're moving forward and we hope that you will take a shower because most of you are terribly, terribly smelly. The point is, get surgery, take a shower, apply for hazard pay, and know that young Mike Huckabee, his speech last night was a newser. He didn't like this whole idea of a trophy for participation. No, because you can't eat that. And Mike Huckabee is a fat Chick-fil-A loving jerk. But he's got a cute smile and dimples. He's like a 90-year-old with dimples, and he plays guitar really poorly. He's a baby and a teenager and a terrible, hateful old man, all rolled into one. And if we could just come in and get him a little bit fatter and squish him down and cover him with like a mealy sort of flour substitute and dip him into a cauldron of chicken soup with diced vegetables and guilt, he would be that matzo-ball that I was speaking of earlier. It'd be very tough, very difficult to digest, if you know what I mean. I have a new theory. Watching this convention that relies upon my contention that the American people, something rhyming with ancient, that relies upon the convention that the American people are actually more intelligent than we give them credit for. The American people think things through. The American people are smart. And this is my contention based upon that underlying assumption. Mitt Romney is throwing the election. Mitt Romney is intentionally throwing the election because Bain Capital is shorting his campaign. Yeah, think about it. He's got all these investors pouring in hundreds of millions of dollars. It's a leverage to the hilt. He owes all things. There's public money financing some of his activities. If it's being shorted and he leaves it, he'll walk off scot-free. He'll make his millions. He won't owe anybody anything. And then he'll get to write his books and he'll get to have a whole, like, maybe they'll create a whole, like, daddy issues day for him. Right? Because that's what it's all about. You run for office here, you run Olympics there, you run Massachusetts here, and you shake it all about. You make up some BS and you pan to the right. That's what it's all about. Mitt Romney is a child trapped inside a man's hair. I think what I'm trying to say is the dude had some more caffeine. Maybe did some other thing he wasn't allowed to do. See, you wonder why somebody hates it. Why somebody dresses up like a cop and pulls people over. Why somebody barges into stores. And why a kid, it's the rage. He's got the rage. Like, I can't wait for him to snap. I hope that during the debates, Obama will just kind of give him a stare. Just kind of look at him. Just stare at him. Just, it's not even like Obama. She's one of his responses. Just to stare at Mitt Romney. Just to look at him. Still look at him, and Mitt Romney will get so nervous, and he won't know what to do, and he'll just have paid $10,000. Yeah, this is what Mitt Romney sounds like for this portion of the show. Okay, just deal with it. And Mitt Romney will just go, like, you know, I don't want to go robot-y, but there will be smoke coming out of his ears. It'll be that type of thing. And Obama will stare at him. Look, I don't need to say anything. Eventually, when confronted by your inability to just keep spewing, because it's not his turn to talk, so he's not talking, and he's not responding to anything Obama's saying. He's just there with his own thoughts. He's there with his own thoughts. And in that silence, with everyone staring at him, his mind starts to wander. And it breaks free from the rigid, falsehood-guided path. Not the word I want, but I'm thinking of like a gutter and a bowling alley that rolls together, but like some of the balls that are on the little thing, and it's all like, the point is, he'll deviate. He'll start quivering. He'll start shaking. He'll start vibrating. And the vibrations will build, and he'll start wobbling. He'll start wobbling and weebling. And he won't fall down. He will fall apart. He'll just shatter and melt, and he'll just undo. And he will be a beautiful sight to behold. He's going to be so angry because he's so close and he's had everything and it's his and he deserves it and he's entitled to it. And he just, I want it. Oh, the entitled generation is wrong. He just feels like he's owed this. Do you really think Mitt Romney wants to do good for this country? Mitt Romney doesn't care about this country. He just want to be president. He's all one way, but he's proud of him. That was really just looking for some more action. Because I was watching Anna Romney speech, and let me tell you something. She was pimping out her husband big time. I just walked away with that with the feeling that Anna Romney wanted some sister wives. You know what I mean? I even tweeted that the other day. Right here, I'm looking at my tweets. Sister wife. Sister wife. I cannot tell you, there's nothing romantic to me about the phrase sister wife. That was more dog whistling. when Ann Romney was talking about we had a real marriage, what is a not real marriage? Who gets to decide that? Show us your marriage certificate. That's what I say. That is what I say. You know how I know that's what I say? Because the words are coming out of my mouth. 888-874-4888. Do you know that Mitt and Ann started in troubled ways? They only had a basement apartment because that's all his dad would get him to help prove that he was worthy to teach him humility. It's all they could afford, living off of just a select amount of his stocks options being cashed in. I don't know if they were options, but the interest off his stock. That was all they could afford without incurring the tax penalty, I'm sure. You know, Ann Romney talked a lot about love, an emotion I wasn't aware she had. I think she didn't talk about the love she had as much as the love she was told to believe existed. She said she first fell in love with Romney when he held down and cut off the hair of a gay student at his prestigious boarding school. And she said, no, it was actually when he couldn't have fell in by impersonating a cop. And she said, no, I just fell in love with him when I realized that his father was fabulously, fabulously wealthy. And well, now she has a dancing horse in the Olympics. I apparently have had my dreams realized. I have had some of the hopes of a generation that have fallen on my shoulders finally put together, and that is I have a collar. My first collar. This is Jeff Kress from Cheater in the Rue. Before you begin, tell us your name and your favorite food. Are you there, caller? Hello? He dropped. Did you say who he was?
No, he just dropped.
Did he hang up or did he drop? I want to know. I want to launch a conspiracy theory about this.
I'm going to guess he dropped.
Okay. The caller dropped. I've been told by my engineer, Giselle Hernandez, that the caller dropped. The caller who called in to call, or called in to speak, these words don't matter. As we've learned anything from the Republican National Convention, words don't matter. They're just frill around the edges of ambition. Yeah, the call dropped. I was going to do a conspiracy theory. I can't figure out what it would be, though. They require some sort of power on my shoulders. Power on my shoulders is that power in my hands for the call to have. Doesn't a conspiracy require somebody getting rid of something? I don't have anything to get rid of. But why does that feel about me? Maybe the caller was kidnapped because he knew too much, and he was calling. It was like that movie with Will Smith when the guy videotaped the murder of the congressman, and he handed it off to Will Smith just because he figured, hey, this guy maybe knows something. Maybe the caller knew something and was calling me. Maybe I was his last chance. Maybe he was furiously spinning down the dial. Well, maybe he's like, I've got to get this on the radio, and he Googled Progressive Radio Network because he also wanted to get car insurance, and he came across this, and he called in, and he thought, this is my last chance, but he was running, right, because he's on a cell phone, and he would just call drop, and he was running away from bad people, very bad people. I don't know if they were male or female or what their race was. It doesn't matter. You could tell they were bad because they were shooting at him, but they were silent shots, because if Giselle had heard gunfire, he definitely would have connected him sooner. But he was running, and then he went into a zone with poor coverage, and the next thing you know, as is typical these days, the international conglomerate, multinational, intercorporate, national corporations got him back. I have a caller. Caller, please tell us your name, your favorite food, and your superpower.
Hi, my name's Kenny. Favorite food, chili rellenos. Superpower, just being informed.
Excellent. I was hoping that it wasn't going to have anything to do with the Chile Relleno, so I appreciate that information is your superpower. Welcome to Cheater on the Root. I believe it's the first time we've spoken with you. What's on your mind?
I was just wondering if y'all caught John McCain's speech yesterday and the warmongering he was doing.
I caught parts of McCain's speech. I also caught parts of Condi Rice's speech. And I just found, taken together, if I can, that they both were, you say warmongering, I say revisionist history. I mean, it was just incredible that it was as if we were back in, you know, September 15th, 2001, as some commentator on TV used that. You know, what struck you about either one of those speeches in particular?
Yes. Just the way McCain said, we will definitely follow Israel into Iran, you know, and it was in code words, of course, but, you
right.
know, pretty much that's the way he, and then also Condoleezza Rice saying the same thing. We will not follow from behind. We have to lead. We have to be a, you know, pretty much the same thing. The Navy's got a global force for good, you know, this whole theme.
Yeah.
I don't know, global force for shit. I'm sorry.
Well, there, you know, the Navy has an important role in the upcoming water wars, but putting that aside, what struck me about Connie's speech particularly was that line you mentioned about not leading from behind. Now, my understanding is that's sort of like a common reference on the right to the way we approach things in Libya, in that Obama and the administration didn't want to make it seem like we had in Iraq and Afghanistan, where we were leading the charge of change there. He just wanted the support to prop
right.
up the and it worked. I mean, you know, we'll see what the future of that region is, but, like, Gaddafi was overthrown by his people. It was bloody and it was violent. But you know what? There's not now in Libya the American-approved new coalition, which is sort of the problem in these other countries. So in a way, that at least that lead from behind line, it seemed disingenuous because it actually was effective. Now, whether or not we should be involved at all is a whole separate question.
I don't know if you'd really call that effective now that you have warlords running Libya. Like Somalia, if that's effective, or Liberia or Nigeria, you know, that's what they want. Dictators they can't control, or warlords, microstates that are even easier to control.
Right. So I guess that would to... I would say that you're right. It wasn't successful from a perspective of someone who actually wants the world to be a better place, but I don't think that that's the driving motivation of the Republicans. So to me, it was successful in that it was something that could be labeled a victory. And ultimately, that's what they care about, is winning and losing. The Republicans are like the Charlie Sheen of politics. All they care about is winning. They don't care how they do it. It's always the warmongering from McCain and this, you know, talking about we're going to basically do whatever Israel wants us to and we're going to attack Iran and all that. But it always struck me as odd that McCain sometimes seems so reasonable, intelligent, and sometimes just so cracker-loony. Because here's a war vet, a guy that was in a prisoner of war. He knows, you know, about the horrors of war. Right. And yet he freely slings about, we're going to go to war. And I don't know if it was a matter of asking for favors or horse trading with the Romney campaign about what might happen in, you know, Romney's administration or what it was, but that type of talk. And when Romney went to Europe, he was sort of doing the same thing, saying we'll do whatever Israel wants. And, you know, there's something on international affairs about undermining a sitting president that I always thought was an unwritten or even written rule in campaigning, that it's sort of, you can criticize, but you cannot really, like, undermine. And I feel like that's what McCain did yesterday, and that's what Romney did in the past.
And Rice yesterday as well.
Yeah. Although Rice gets the benefit, you know, deserved or not, people really revere her as a great statesman or statesperson, which, you know, maybe because she, in today's Republican environment, she seems like a moderate. But, you know, she was the Secretary of State when we went into one completely unfounded war and another war without any sort of exit strategy. I mean, that doesn't really strike me as effective international leadership, you know.
Or moderate.
Right. I mean, I think it would be difficult for progressives to ever fully endorse America's political and military moves internationally. But to her credit, you know, this current Secretary of State has done an effective job of navigating very, very difficult waters in many arenas around the world, where I think previous, you know, maybe a Condi Rice-led effort would have, we would be in a lot more wars actively than whatever tightrope we're walking now. Anything else strike you about the convention yesterday or today or the day before?
The talk of the energy policy, how they would always bring up King Kong, coal, oil, nuclear, gas, and then mm-hmm. with a snide remark at the end, they'd say, oh, and renewables, and then switch the subject before they could ever say anything about renewables. But they act like they, you know, they say it with distaste. It almost hurts their tongue to say it.
Yeah. I sometimes think that it's like the death rattle of a dying ideology, that they know, like, these are intelligent people for the most part, you know, intelligent people, successful in some ways, and they have to understand, some of them have to understand that science matters and that the future investment matters, that infrastructure investment matters, that getting off of coal and oil and all of these things matter. And yet they it's like this resource that they have, literally, that they've got to get as much out of as possible, so they want to put it off. And, you know, they always talk about not leaving debt to future generations. But what about, like, you know, not leaving any planet to future generations, not leaving a future? And the final thing I'll say, and thank you for the call, we have to wrap up. Tell us your name, food, Chile right now, be informed. What was the name again?
Kenny from Hawaii.
Kenny, are you calling from Hawaii right now?
Yes, aloha.
Aloha, excellent. Do you have a guest room for me to visit in? Let me say thank you, Kenny. I'm gonna finish one last thought on your thought. I appreciate the call. Listen in every week and stick around for the finalization radio hour, which is coming up in about 2 minutes. It's a great show here. That's Kenny from Hawaii. He's a superhero because he stays informed. And the last thought I'll give on what he's saying about the renewables is, it strikes me this is a party of business that they are going against their own interests, especially our interests economically. They're not embracing renewables. It's the number one industry of the future, and we are giving China the lead by cutting the wind and solar tax credits, by not allowing America to invest in the future. If America hadn't invested in autos back at the turn of the century, or whatever it was, I don't do numbers, we wouldn't have read in that. Like, we are seeding the future, the economic possibility of the future, overseas by not investing. And it seems to me anyone who's taking Econ 101 and the leaders of the Republicans tend to be successful business people, whether or not you hear their tactics and their view or not, that they would want to invest in the future of, if not America, at least their own companies, their own wallets. And they're failing to do that. You know, it's one thing to disagree, but it's another thing to have no core, no morals, no values whatsoever, to just espouse a certain talking point and then not even be able to stand behind that. Ladies and gentlemen, I've done it. I'm without Lee, and I'm Jeff Kreitzer. This has been another episode of Cheater and the Rude. Tune in every Thursday. We're going to get this thing back up and rolling. This is the Progressive Radio Network. I'm at Jeff Kreitzer on Twitter. I'm tweeting beyond space, just like everybody else. Good night, everyone. What about the night?